Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, this is a long lesson, as all of them have been, and we want to get through it and know something more about the Word of God, know something more about what it means to be obedient. We thank you for Hezekiah, Lord, for the fact that he just went through all the mess and cleaned it all up. And I think how much today we need to do that in our own churches, that we might focus so much better on you. Help us, Lord, to understand what you want us to understand here today, and we'll simply give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Hezekiah inherited a very disorganized realm. It was terrible burdens of tribute to Assyria. And he began his reign with a great reformation. We get lost in the fact that at the very end of his life, he shows all his treasures to Babylon. That actually brought about Jerusalem's destruction. When you work it through to Daniel. Well, he began his reign with great reformation. He set up and reopened the temple. I thought that was interesting that the temple had been locked up. What if you had gone to church last Sunday and the church was locked? I mean, that one really hit us all very, very strangely. Then he restored the service of God there, and God was with him and prospered him everything he did. He recovered some Philistine cities and gained independence from Assyria. He strengthened the wall that went around Jerusalem, and he built a conduit, and that's that tunnel that goes under Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem today, you can see Hezekiah's tunnel. It's 1,700 feet underneath the city of Jerusalem, and it's 6 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide. So you can't be too heavy to get through, but it's still there. And I think that's a wonderful tribute to Hezekiah. Did you know more space is devoted in Scripture than to any other king since Solomon? You have it here in 2 Kings, and you have it in Chronicles 29. Through 32, and you have it in Isaiah 36 through 39. I remember when we studied that in a few years back, Isaiah. I would recommend that reading all of Hezekiah's life this summer would be a good challenge for you. And you could pick out a lot of these wonderful things that he did. And not lose sight of that with the Babylonians. Well, and it was all done through his faith in God. His reign was of great reform. He campaigned against all forms of idolatry, destroying the high places. He is the only king that destroyed the high places. Now, I had a great talk with my son from Jordan this last couple of days ago, and we discussed Hezekiah thoroughly. And I said, do you think the high places were involved in sexual worship? And he said, absolutely. And so what would happen is you would do your other stuff, and then you'd go up to a high place, and there'd be a temple. Prostitute, And that would really guarantee good crops and stuff. And if that didn't work, then you could sacrifice your children. You know, I see how much God hates the sacrifice of innocent blood. And I often think of New York now as established. You can have an abortion at any age. I just can't imagine doing that at 9 months. And I can't imagine in this instance how the women, where were the wives saying, no, you can't kill my child, you know? I don't know. It's just interesting. He campaigned against all forms of idolatry, which included the high places, and included the bronze serpent. Now you say, well, that's not fair asking what a natushtan is. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the verses for that. That was wrong of me. It's found in Numbers 21. And it, if you can remember Moses' history, the snakes were biting the people and killing them. And so what did Moses do but made this brass serpent go around a cross? And when he held it up, the people didn't die from the bites, or the snakes didn't bite them. I think that's pretty interesting. So, do you know we still have it in effect today? Some of you have been involved in medical. That's the AMA, I believe it's the big one, Association still has that symbol. And you probably looked at it a lot of times and never knew that. That came right out of Moses. And I suppose for some, it'd be better if they just held that up and said, here, I heal you. But it doesn't work that easily. But I remember seeing a lot of symbols of that when my granddaughter got her doctorate. Still in use today. Well, in Sennacherib's first invasion of Judah, Hezekiah had said, I don't want to have a fight. I don't want to do anything like that. What do you want? So he says, I'll take all your gold and your silver, and I won't invade. But you know, when I think about it, all they had to do was obey God's commands and remember the covenant. But the north never got back to it. They repeatedly disobeyed. They brought discipline to the northern part of Israel simply because they didn't obey any of its laws. They began with idols. This is the north. North is called Israel. And it's they brought in two golden calves with their first king, Jeroboam. And then it was downhill from there. But golden calves, he wanted to set up so the people wouldn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. And so the people did that. And of course, if you had a few prostitutes running around, it all made it so easy. So they worshiped false gods. And Hezekiah went out to destroy all those heathen idols, temples, shrines. But the north had stiff necks and hard hearts. And as I say, sex was very much involved. Then they offered their children, and God was very, very against that. Israel, the north, really angered the Lord. Now, when Assyria came in and took them over, they aren't called Israel anymore. They're called Samaria. So when you read that in the New Testament, you can just remember, well, that was the capital or the area that Assyria had taken over. Lots of interesting things all tied together with today. Well, you and I know there's no other name under heaven given among man by which we may be saved. Israel didn't learn her lessons, got taken over. And what we learn from history is we don't learn. It's the bottom line. God had given them commands about idolatry. That's why I gave you that as a memory verse. I wanted you to know there between Moses and this day, they still couldn't be obedient or repent. They had false gods, one after another. King Hezekiah decided he was going to reinstitute the services in Jerusalem at the temple, but and eventually he's going to do Pentecost there, which is just fabulous. Don't forget about the Natushtan, though. It's still around today. You know, I was thinking about that Natushtan. Do we have any articles today that we bow down to? And I think a lot of people bow down to the shroud. And we know that doesn't belong to the Lord. And a lot of them bow down. I remember going to a church, well, it was in the Mideast. They had this gold thing. And inside you could see the shin bone of John the Baptist. I thought, oh, these people are very, very deluded. I've been told that there's enough shrines like that about the cross that you could forest a whole forest with the wood that's been used in these. Why is it we so want to see? It's so hard to go by faith. Once you go by faith, though, you don't want to do anything else. Especially, God doesn't want you to do anything else. Well, Hezekiah also knew he wanted musicians and singers. There had to be music in order to please the Lord. And I thought a lot about that this week because we so want to go modern in our churches. Pretty soon all churches have guitars or drums or whatever. But Hezekiah went back to David's instruments and got those out, and David's songs. I was impressed with that. It wasn't anything new. He wasn't copying any other church or temple, but he was going back to what had pleased the Lord. And the burnt offerings, when you read about burnt offerings, it symbolizes total dedication. And when he got to the Pentecost time, it was a time of great celebration. In fact, he had sent out runners to invite all the north, and a lot of people came. And you ask today, where are those 10 tribes? I don't know. I don't have to know. God knows where they are. But a lot of them came down to Judah, and I was pretty impressed with that. I don't know if they stayed there or whether they went back or whether they came just for celebrations. I don't know. But when the Assyrians got a hold of Israel or the north, they brought in all these people. I think it was about 5 different groups of people. And of course, they all had different religions. So he put a priest in charge of it to kind of pull it together. Well, that's why today, and a long time ago, the Jews didn't want anything to do with Samaria because it was not a pure place, as you know in the New Testament when you read about the woman at the well. They had totally different belief. Anyway, he had all these people notified that there was going to be a Passover, so he sent these runners out, and I thought it was interesting that some of them laughed at these runners, and others came. I don't know, what would you have done? Would you have said, ooh, this is just what I want to hear, or what? But, you know, there hadn't been a Passover involving the entire nation since Solomon. And Hezekiah wanted to unite the people spiritually, even though they were divided politically. The northern kingdom was under the rule of Sennacherib, and the Jewish, how'd you like those names, Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, a few other interesting names this week. We get them every week. I usually read over them, or I just take the first part, Sen and Rab, much easier. Well, the Jewish remnant living there worshiped the gods of the Gentile nations, so now they had an opportunity to repent and go down to Jerusalem. And boy, Hezekiah was really stiff on this too. He invited them, but then there had to be a cleansing, and then there had to be sanctification before celebration. And I gave you those verses for communion service, but examine yourself before you take communion. It's okay if it goes by, you know. If you need to straighten something out, don't take it unworthily, as we can see here. And they had so much joy. The celebration was to go on for 1 week, and it went on for two because they were enjoying themselves. Did they have enough to eat? Oh, yeah. Joyous people just give. They just give. And so if you're having a building fund at your church, know that if the people are full of joy, they will give. How do you become full of joy? Having that close relationship with the Lord. Of course, he had to clean out the rubbish and get the place cleaned up. I think how awful it would have been to have had your place of worship locked up, and how awful it would have been if it needed cleaning out too. Well, Judah was a wonderful example. Hezekiah organized the temple ministry. Don't forget that. Hezekiah was a negotiator. Didn't send tribute money to Sennacherib after the first time. 1715 BC, Sennacherib invaded Judah and headed towards Jerusalem. Hezekiah's faith was very weak, so he humbled himself before the king and paid the tribute the first time. After that, he would seek out Isaiah. They would take the notifications and so on and spread them out before the Lord. Then he tried to speak in Aramaic, and then he spoke in Hebrew, trying to scare the people. And Hezekiah told him, don't say anything back. Then Hezekiah, towards the end of his life, became a sufferer. He became very ill, and he had this boil or something that was killing him. And Isaiah told him, get your house in order, because you're going to die. And He was ready to do that, but he pleaded with God to spare him 15 more years of living, which the Lord did. Now, I have always taken it that Manasseh was born during this 15-year period. But we don't know. That's the interesting thing. He could have been born before this happened, and because we don't know the date of his birth. Here's the problem. So if you didn't like those questions in your lesson, you can throw tomatoes at me, because I've always felt that he was born during that time, but not necessarily. And so time went along and Babylon showed up and some ambassadors. Now, why in the world would Hezekiah want to show off all his wealth? I don't know. That's a puzzler. Other than the fact of that little word called pride. Now, I have accumulated all of this and I will show it to you. Well, guess what happens over in Daniel? They come back. If you had that much, we'll take it. And of course, they destroy the temple, which is the tragedy of tragedies. Anyway, that's the book of Daniel. And Isaiah comes back to him and puts something on it, and he gets well. And that demonstrates his trust. But you know, when you think about it, pride is one of the real things that Satan uses in our lives. He just picks at it. But I found a good statement that I want to pass on to you. That this is from Spurgeon. And he said, "Be not proud of race, face, place, or grace." And I thought that was great advice. Because people tell me, well, Liz, you would just be well, you know, if you had enough faith. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of faith. I love my Lord. I am not worried about going to see him. Well, I probably should be, but... Sure. I thought it was neat. Don't be proud of race, face, place, or grace. Should be easy to remember because it all rhymes. And I just love it because a lot of people are very proud of their face, and a lot of people are very proud of their place where they live. And like I have a tendency to be very proud about my kids. That doesn't rhyme, so it's okay. But it makes us rob the glory that belongs to the Lord. And I think that's so amazing. Pride is the groundwork in which all other sin grows, the parent from which all other sin comes. Well, he spilled the beans to the Babylonians, envoys, and as I say, we picked it up with Daniel. Everything gets destroyed. Well, he was only pleased because it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. And that shows us a little glimmer of jealousy or pride being the root of that. Nothing else would be. Well, this guy that came in, that Rabshakeh, he said all kinds of arrogant things against our Lord. And Hezekiah wondered how he could be so arrogant and blasphemous in the name of the Lord. Rabshakeh had approached the living God by daring to associate the living God with all these idols. And he knew that the idols couldn't do anything, but he figured if Hezekiah took down the high places, well, they were done, because that would be the end of them. But I happen to think about when the outlook looks bleak, where do you look? Look up. That's what Hezekiah did. Fearfully, that's all right, but he looked up. And we do the same thing. Where do we go? We go to the phone. And we ask somebody, oh, you won't believe what happened. But if you would just spread it out before the Lord, you would see God work. Well, being a faithful Jew, the king knew that the gods were defeated nations, weren't gods at all. Hezekiah asked the Lord to save the people and Judah, not for their sake. And I think this is so beautiful, something that I don't even think about, but he says, for the glory of his great name. And I thought a lot about how I pray. Do I pray for the glory of God's name? And that's what Hezekiah did. Amazing man. Only time will tell. God hears from them. But Hezekiah was a man of prayer. Think of that. How do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for being a woman of prayer? I hope so. I hope that's the first thing you do, not the last thing. There's a lot of people that go before the Lord when they have some trouble, but he never sees them otherwise. He never sees them the next day if their problems go away. Well, the Lord was with Hezekiah wherever he went. He prospered. He was the model of the blessed man in Psalm 1 that's before the water, who obeys the word of God and meditates on it, depends upon the power of God. What are you depending on today when you think about it? Hezekiah depended upon the power of God. Do you depend upon the power of God? Very, very interesting. Hezekiah was not only in favor with God, but he also was beloved by the people. He was buried with the kings. Like all of us, he had lapses of faith. Don't just look at that and say, well, God looked at him and he knew he was a man that trusted him. And I pray that your God looks at you and says, you're a woman of faith, a woman of trust. And I would agree with my grandson that trust is the hardest thing to hang on to. We so want to fix things, and we can't so often. But undoubtedly, Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings in Jewish history. And that's an amazing statement to make in contrast to all the others. David had his women problems, and Solomon had outrageous women problems, and the first king, Saul, was disobedient. So Hezekiah is right up there with the Lord. So study his life sometime this summer if you have time. Father, we have much to learn from King Hezekiah. It's hard for me to believe he could come out of an ungodly father, that he had to unlock the temple, that he had to get people to get cleansed, the priests, the overseers of all of their offerings, that he was very careful to do it your way. And he brought music in, Lord, not hardcore, but David's music. And I thank you for that. Thank you that it was a sweet psalmist of Israel's music. And of course, the people loved it. They had such joy. When we're cleansed vehicle, we have much joy. I pray that no one here today is sitting on sin or sitting in something that they've got to get straight. Help them, Lord, to do that. We need to look to you to be all that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your word that shows us so much. And we just simply give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.